Well, looking at another beatitude tonight. If you turn to Matthew 5. It says from verse 9 of Matthew 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's pray first. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that, Lord, we have promises laid up for us if we so desire to seek your face and do what you want. And Lord, in this area that we're looking at this evening, I pray that you'll give us wisdom. Pray that the Spirit of God will be amongst us, illuminating us, guiding us, and that, Father, you will glorify yourself in our midst as we consider you this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last two messages I preached on a Sunday night, looking at the Beatitudes, we focused on the peacemakers. And if you can remember those times, you will know very clearly how that a peacemaker, in the sense that the Lord is talking about here, is someone who directs people to Christ and his ways, that they may know the righteousness of God, and predominantly so that they can be saved and then be made righteous and then enjoy the peace that comes from knowing the Lord. And last time we saw how someone who is a peacemaker like this will be called or will be known as a child of God. That's one of the blessings. You want to be called or be referred to or seen as a child of God? Well, it's being a peacemaker in this way. What we do need to realize, though, is if we do act like a child of God in this way, well, then we need to expect to be treated like a child of God as well. And you might think, well, that's wonderful. I want people to treat me like God's child. Well, that's going to be great in heaven, but it's not so good here on earth. Because we do know when God the Son of God came, he was treated in a manner that wasn't too nice. And Jesus has told us that we shouldn't think it strange that when we act like him, we will be treated by the world like him as well. We know this from John chapter 15, if you just turn over there for a moment. In John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20, we read here, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." There you go. It's something to rejoice over. At least they hated Jesus first. You know? He goes on, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And so, Jesus knew that those who follow him and act like him are going to be treated the same way as he was. And I believe that's why Jesus gives us this beatitude. Basically, if you go through the two beatitudes, he's saying that if you live like me by telling people how they can be made righteous in the sight of God, well, then expect to be treated like me as well, and that is being persecuted. And I believe the verses 10, 11 and 12 are basically the same beatitude. I know there's two blesseds there, but I think it's basically the same thing. Let's read it again. It says there in verse 10, in John, let's go back to I'll go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew 5. We read there in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I believe it's really the same beatitude, the same theme. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Now, we're going to look at three main areas that I can discover from this beatitude. And first of all, the reason for the persecution. That's important to understand. Not all persecution that we suffer is going to come with a promise of blessing from God. There has to be an appropriate reason for the persecution. The reason why you're suffering persecution is vital. And we see the key phrases of what brings blessings from God in verses 10 and 11. The first phrase is, "It is blessed are ye that are persecuted for righteousness' sake." That's the first thing, for righteousness' sake. And then in verse 11, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely." And so he was saying here, "for my sake." And so the reason why people attack us and hate us must be for Christ's sake, because we are living the way Christ wants us to live. If that's not the reason, we shouldn't expect blessing. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who do very foolish things and act in very godless ways or very selfish ways, and they think, for some reason, because they are suffering, they are going to be blessed by God, when really, their sufferings are simply because of fleshly actions, and God's not happy with that at all. Let's just turn over to 1 Peter for a moment. Here we have the distinction made very clearly for us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, we read there in verse 14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Verse 15 says, though, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evil doer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." So we see the distinction. It's good if we suffer for Christ's sake, but it's bad if we simply suffer for our own wrongdoing. That's a bad testimony. And over the years, I've heard people do the most ridiculous things in the name of Christ, and they suffer the consequences, and they think there's going to be treasure in heaven for them. I've heard of men who have gone and murdered doctors who work in the abortion clinics, or there's a brothel in their town, so they burn it down. And despite the fact that there are abominable things taking places in those places, to murder somebody who's practicing those things or commit arsony is still against the law, and it goes against what God says he wants us to be doing anyway. He says that we're not to murder. He says that we're to live peacefully with others. He says that we're to obey the laws of the land. But people like this, they sit in prison, having acted in a certain way, thinking, "I am being persecuted for Christ's sake." And they think there's reward in heaven for it. They're not suffering for Christ's sake. They're suffering for committing an evil or unlawful action. We need to be very careful of the distinction. Now, I trust none of us are going to be that silly to do that sort of thing, but I think you can even get down to even more minute things. Often we are mistreated in some way and we think we're being persecuted, but the reality is we're just simply acting in a manner that is not warranted. It could be that we're just being very selfish, or we're being very slack, or we're lazy or unkind. And the offense that people are finding isn't the offense of the gospel or the offense of Christ in us. It's just that we're acting very offensively in our own flesh. And we shouldn't expect any blessings or reward in heaven for that. You know, years ago when I lived in Sydney, I worked in quite a big company on the floor in the area. Probably had about 20 or 30 employees. And I was, 22? Somewhere about that. And there was this... he was elderly then to me. He wasn't retired, but anyway, he seemed elderly to me. And he was someone who was a missionary, I think, to the Philippines for about 20 years. He had left the mission field and he was just back working in Sydney for a couple of years before his retirement. And this man, a missionary, he testified of being a Christian. He knew God's word inside and out. He lived a very clean, disciplined life, and he worked extremely hard. And if I ended there, you think, what a godly example. But unfortunately, there are other sides of his personality. He criticized everybody in the workplace. Everybody. He had a critical thing to say about first person, you know, the new guy on the block to the boss himself. He thought everybody was lazy except him. He would refer to them as being lazy. He misjudged everybody's motives. Everyone was up to no good in his sight. He didn't think anyone was doing the right thing by him or doing the right thing by the company. He wouldn't sit with others, most of us would sit in the lunchroom. He would sit by himself. He didn't want to associate with anyone. When he did make a mistake with an order or something like that, he never admitted it. It was never his fault. Someone else made the mistake. And lo and behold, no one liked him. Could you believe that? Nobody liked him. Everybody thought he was arrogant and proud. People avoided him. They left him out. When they were doing something, they're not going to invite him. And they said and they thought terrible things about him. And probably not to this day, because I'd say he's dead now, but to the day I no longer saw him, he was convinced that the people treated him this way because he was a Christian. Even though I worked there and they didn't treat me that way, even though about three of the directors were Christians and they didn't get treated that way, even though Linda worked there and she didn't get treated that way. But lo and behold, he got treated that way because he was a Christian. Now, that wasn't true. He was being persecuted, there's no doubt. People treated him terribly, but it was because of his arrogance and his manner of life. And when we're mistreated by others, the first thing we need to make sure is it's not because of our own personality faults or our selfishness or our bad attitude that's causing people to attack us. There is no blessings that Jesus says waiting for somebody who suffers for those reasons. We need to get that really clear. It is for those who are persecuted for Christ's sake. For those who want to live a righteous life. And the world hates it and they persecute it. And so, that's the first thing we see. The second thing I want us to notice is the reaction of the unsaved. This is important. You know, remember, we looked at the peacemakers. The peacemakers are those who live a righteous life, those who promote righteousness where they share the gospel. They also encourage other people to live righteously. They stand for righteousness' sake. And so there are plenty of things that they do and don't do for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when someone stands for what God wants and speaks up God's word, that's when you're going to have the possibility of persecution. Some people are going to receive it and enjoy God's peace and love you for it. Other people are going to reject it, and as Jesus says, they will hate you for it. Happened to the Apostle Paul. We know it many times. He preached, some received it, and they loved him. Others rejected it, and they hated it. And it is the same when we work in this God, not God forsaken, that was not the right word, God-hating world. You know, if you're at work and you tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, or you refuse to be involved in some dirty joke, I found when I was working, if I refused to sit and have a beer with the guys after work, they got terribly upset, like I've just offended their mother or something, you know, it's or they're probably their God, actually. But if you refuse to lie to the boss or you refuse to lie for the boss, with these circumstances, if you choose to live righteously, a couple may love what you do and want to know more. The majority will be upset with you because you offend their character in some way. And so that's where persecution will come. And in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus explains some of the reactions that we can expect. Some of the reactions that we can expect when we live righteously in his sight. And I found this very interesting because usually, let's think about persecution for a moment. Do we suffer persecution? Now, if you compare it to some people, you'll say, we don't even know what persecution is. And that is true. You know, you go and speak up for the Lord in Syria and preach the gospel. You'll know what very scary persecution is. But what I find very interestingly is that what Jesus describes as persecution and what we can expect when we live righteously isn't unfamiliar to us. And I find that encouraging because sometimes we think, oh, what I go through, God doesn't even consider that as persecution. He just says, get over it, mate, and move on. And one day you may actually find some real persecution. But thankfully, when Jesus is describing persecution, he describes things that are very familiar to us. And here Jesus mentions three things in verse 11. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is the three words that he uses to describe being treated terribly for his sake. How people will treat you. Now let's look at the three words briefly. The first one is, they will revile you. Has anyone at work, school, reviled you? I guess you've got to know what the word means. Does it mean they find you revolting? All right. Well, the word actually means to insult or mock, make fun of, ridicule. We know that those who were crucified with the Lord Jesus reviled on him, it says. Wasn't those just the robbers before one came to their senses, but the whole group reviled on the Lord. They made fun of him. They scoffed at him. They said things to him to try and get under his skin. That's what reviling is. Insulting and making fun. And Jesus says we can expect this to happen. I find that interesting. He says, you know, blessed are they who we would think now are beheaded for my name. You know, because that's what we think, well, that's persecution. But he says, blessed are they who are made fun of and laughed at for my name. That's something we can relate to, isn't it? You know, you tell someone you're a Christian at work, tell them you go to church on Sunday, often you'll get laughed at. Go and hand out tracts. I've handed out tracts and had people yell out very funny things about me. Right? Well, they thought they were funny anyway. They probably were funny if you really think of it. But funny things that brought a laugh to everyone in the car. You know what it's like to be laughed at or to be called names. I was saying to the young people, I think it was young people, Pastor Apps, when he was at school, because they knew he was a Christian, he was referred to as the Pope. All right? So I don't know if that's a... I don't know what that really means, but he was the Pope. So there are plenty of names you can be given and to be laughed at. Jesus says that this is persecution. I like that. There is he considers that, he sees that and says, hey, you're doing that for my sake. And that's nice to know, that we don't slip under the radar of those being persecuted. I know it's in a different, it's a different level compared to those in some countries. But it's still, this is what Jesus said, is considered persecution. So if you get made fun of, you get called names, people think you're a fool, Jesus says, this is suffering for me. Also, he goes on to say, blessed are you who persecute you. Now this is what we're basically talking about, but the word here means to pursue zealously. That's what it's talking about here. Paul uses this word in a good sense, where it's translated press, where he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here he was using this word to say that I am pursuing zealously that prize that comes from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got my eyes fixed on nothing else but that reward in heaven. I am pressing towards that. Well, that's what the word is meant or means, to pursue zealously. Now, that's great if you're pursuing with rewards from the Lord. But I tell you what, that's not great when you have someone who is pursuing you zealously because you're a Christian. You know, that's when it can be a little bit scary. And it's certainly true. You know, in the early days of the church, they were chased, they were harassed, they were pursued with the intention of stopping them and hurting them. Paul, again, experienced this. We know when he went to Thessalonica, they didn't like what they were hearing, so they pursued him. They tried to find him so they could put him on trial. They couldn't find him because he fled to Berea. Once they heard that he was at Berea, what did they do? They pursued him zealously down there to cause trouble. They had their eyes fixed on Paul to harass. He was being persecuted in that sense. And this type of thing can happen even in our country. When you stand for Christ, there are those who don't just laugh at you or make fun of you. There are those who do whatever they possibly can to humiliate you. Or many times what they do is they try to make you sin. They try to bring you down so then they can make fun of you. You know, I remember when I was going through Bible college, I had this job, this engineer firm, where they were doing all this metal stuff, and I think the owner had OCD because he couldn't stand shavings on the floor. Not a good job if you don't like shavings on a engineering floor, all right? And so he would employ people to sweep it up constantly. And so after Bible college, I'd go and sweep the floor. He didn't want to see any metal files on the floor. Now, it didn't take long before everyone knew that I was a Christian. Most people made fun of me, laughed at me. They planted magazines around the place just to harass me. And there was a level of persecution or reviling. But then there was the foreman, and I discovered he had a Catholic background. And it was just a totally different level. He was just furious that I was a Christian. He hated the thought that I was a Christian. He would stand there while I'm sweeping, you know. He would find anything he could to dump on me. It was like he singled me out because there was something about me that aggravated him. Now, I hope it wasn't my personality, right, or something like that. But as soon as he found out I was a Christian, life changed for me there. And that can happen. You might just be at school. Most people make fun of you, but there's one that singles you out. At work, it could be the same. It could be on your sports team or wherever you are. When that happens, though, remember this is the type of attack or persecution that Christ said will happen, and he recognizes it, and there are blessings for you when it comes. And so that's the other thing. But the last thing he says, the type of suffering, they will say all manner of evil against you falsely. Basically, what they'll do is they'll lie about you. If people are happy to ridicule you, if they are happy to pursue you in order to make your life miserable, then we shouldn't be surprised if people are more than happy to lie about us, to try and make us look bad. They told lies about the Lord Jesus. On that night of his trial, it was just lie after lie after lie. Or they took a bit of truth and then they twisted it to make it a lie. You know, and they have lied about him since. It gets you so angry when you hear some of the lies that they make about the Lord Jesus. That he had an affair with Mary Magdalene. That he was an illegitimate son of a Roman soldier. And then they get even more vile than that, hanging around 12 men and so on. It makes you angry when you hear the lies. But it shouldn't surprise us. The world hated him. They still do when he offends them. And the early church suffered the same. Why were all those Christians meeting together? Because they were killing their babies and eating them. That's why they were gathering together in secret. They were some of the lies going around and other terrible things as well. So we shouldn't think it's strange when people tell lies about us and try and dirty our name or get us in trouble. This is normal for those who live righteously in the sight of God. And so people are going to tell lies about us. And these are some of the reactions that we can expect if we act like the children of God. These are some of the reactions. I wonder if you've experienced some this week, made fun of. Someone just has it in for you, or even they tell lies about you. That's persecution. But Jesus didn't just tell us the reaction that we can expect from them. He also tells us the response he expects from us. This is when the beatitude gets a little hard. Because in verse 12 he says this: when these things happen, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, the word rejoice means to be happy, cheerful. I can sort of cope with that one. But exceedingly glad, that one means to jump for joy. All right? You're jumping for joy. I haven't jumped for joy for a lot of things. Probably not many spiritual things, unfortunately. You know, your team might win the grand final or something. I know I have jumped for joy. Some haven't jumped for a while, but some of us got to jump more than others. But jumping for joy generally has to be something very exciting, isn't it? But Jesus says, when this happens, I want you to jump for joy. Now, that's easier said than done. I'm not going to get up here and say that it's easy. It's hard to act like, say, those disciples of the Lord Jesus when they were all taken in because they were preaching in Jesus' name and they said, don't do this, and they whipped them. And what was their response? They went out rejoicing that they had the privilege of suffering on behalf of the Lord. Oh, how often has someone laughed at you, and then you go around the corner and, yes, Lord, thank you. That's so exciting. You know, that person that's got it in for you at work and they just went and told the boss that you did something that you never did do just to try and bring you down here. Thank you! As you jump down the aisle after the boss gives you a revving. Why would you do that? How could you do that? I was asking myself that. Why don't I do that? Well, as I thought of it, I didn't really like the answer. You know, when you think of it, I don't want to put you in this. Why don't I respond like this? I'm sure you do, all right? But why don't I respond like this? I can see two reasons. One, it just shows how little I am like Christ. You know, Christ was persecuted relentlessly. Those Pharisees had it in for him. They pursued him. People told lies about him. People mocked him and laughed, but he loved those people. On the cross, it was just a picture of love. He actually even died for those Pharisees that pursued him relentlessly. That just shows that if you compare how Christ reacted the way I do, I realize how little I am like Christ. You know, sometimes you think, boy, I have grown so much in the Lord. I guess there's only like the minor little things I got to start refining to be like Christ. Where I look at that, I think, I am nothing like him. That's not a little, you know, when you're sharpening a pencil, it's just not getting that real sharp little end. That's just, you've got a big blunt one. I've got to start getting something there. Not like Christ at all. Also, it shows how worldly minded you are. You know, Jesus didn't say jump for joy because it's just fun when people revile you and persecute you and tell lies about you. He said, this should make you jump for joy because of what happens, what you can be assured of in the future. Because he says, for, this is the reason, for great is your reward in heaven. That's the reason. He says, the more you're reviled and lied about and pursued, the greater your reward in heaven will be. That's a little bit like a spiritual superannuation. You know, do you jump for joy every week when your super gets put in because you know there's more? You're going to get more when you retire because it's building up every time your boss puts a little bit more in. That's something to jump for joy. Unless you don't care about the future, you just want it now. And unfortunately, that's like what we are when it comes to our rewards in heaven. And it shows how earthly minded we are. I'm not interested in heavenly rewards. I'm just interested now, Lord. I'm interested in not getting embarrassed now. I don't care about heavenly rewards. I'm more concerned about my temporal feelings than my eternal feelings. So often, the reason why we don't rejoice is because we don't think about the future, we're just thinking about the here and now. It shows how very worldly and temporal we are. Otherwise, we wouldn't care if we suffer now, for it's just a bit of short-time sadness for a long-time gladness. That rhymed. That was good. All right. I should have remembered that the next time. Do you want me to repeat it? I've got to remember it. Short-term sadness for long-term gladness. Write that one down, Claire. That's a good one. I just saw her over there. But that's what it's all about. What are you interested in? Do you want short-term gladness? Long-term sadness? Or the other way around? Well, that's why Jesus says we can be glad. Not because it actually feels good to be reviled or lied about, but there are eternal blessings. So that's the promise. Jesus says, I will promise you these things. And so, we're not getting our heads cut off, from what I can notice. All right, we're not getting beaten and put in prison. Praise God for that. But we still can build up treasures in heaven if we happily accept being laughed at for righteousness' sake, even being pursued by some that have it in for us when we're a Christian, or even when people tell lies about us just to try and dirty our name. The Lord knows the truth, and He will reward accordingly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that, Lord, You are the one who knows all, and You record all. You forget nothing. And, Lord, You will reward accordingly. There are so many things that we have gone through in the past and we even forget about it. Forget that there are rewards for those things. Yet, Lord, there will be a day when the judge, the great judge, will reward us accordingly. I pray that we would have our minds fixed upon You, and we'll set our affections on things above, not on things below. And we will be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, that we may share that gospel and tell others of what they need to hear, that they may find peace with You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.